Gum Podcast. Knipe is proudly sponsoring Lady Lovin'. For those of you that don't know, Knipe is the plant-based solution to self-care. And Knipe has been nature's expert for 125 years, creating plant-based vegan bath and body products. The company was founded many years ago by a Bavarian priest who founded the naturopathic and hydrotherapy movement. Many of his writings inspired Knipe's bath and body products as they are today. I love a brand with history.
Same.
It's rich. Very rich, just story like their products. Tell. And you know what? All the products are processed gently using innovative product methods. Products are tested comprehensively to ensure optimal efficiency and skin tolerance. And formulas are developed using top quality plant-based functional ingredients. And we love that. They have products like mineral bath salts, herbal bath oils, Arnica Joint and Muscle Collection, which is the collection I mess with because you guys know I have arthritis, and great products. Foot care, body care, aromatherapy, bubble bath, which is another thing I also use. And Jilly uses because Jilly loves
baths.
Baths. Shower foams, reactive skincare. I mean, honestly, it goes on and on and on. It's vegan. It's dermatologist tested and recommended. Cruelty-free, paraben-free. No preservatives, paraffins, silicones, or mineral oils. It's just honestly great. So here's the vibe. For 15% off your first order, go to Knipe.com. That's Kneipp.com and use the promo code LOVIN at checkout. That's 15% off of your first order by going to Knipe.com. That's Kneipp.com and use promo code LOVIN at checkout.
Today's episode of Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Kopari. And can I just say that sometimes it's the smallest changes that can have the biggest benefits. Like for me, I really am mandating that I drink 8 glasses of water every single day, and my skin is looking great and my digestive system is like totally in check. So here's an easy change that you guys can make that will make your body say thank you. And that is switching to an aluminum-free deodorant. And I recently made the switch to Kopari's coconut deodorant, and I don't think that I can ever go back because I love smelling like a coconut. But seriously, you guys, Kopari's deodorant is aluminum-free and vegan. It's free of silicone, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and baking soda. So it's really good for sensitive skin. It fights stinky smells with sage oil and coconut oil, and it doesn't leave behind a sticky white residue, just the sweet, subtle scent of fresh coconut milk armpits.
I like huff my armpits. I'm not kidding you.
You love a coconut oil milk.
You guys
armpit.
Have no idea. I ride for Kopari hard. I really fuck with their deodorant, and I also love all of their other coconut products.
Well, also, do you know that the deodorant is their number one selling product?
It makes sense because it makes you smell edible. Like it's delicious.
Like a snack.
Exactly. So what's the offer, Lo?
Well, we do have an offer for you gorgeous listeners today. Just head over to KopariBeauty.com/lovin' to make the safe switch today and save $5 off your first order when you subscribe. That's Kopari, KopariBeauty.com/lovin', KopariBeauty.com/lovin'.
Hello and welcome to Lady Lovin'. The final episode.
We could probably harmonize. Sing.
What about the final countdown? Isn't that what it is?
It's the final episode.
Wait.
That's why we sing it like the final countdown.
You sing.
I can't sing.
You can. Say that again.
No, you need to hold it down. Oh, I don't, I'm not supposed to go up with you? Okay.
You're supposed to sing the final episode.
I could rap it. The final episode.
Yeah.
Episode.
Final episode.
Is here. Welcome.
It is Monday, December 31st, the last day of 2018.
And the last day
of Lady Lovin'.
Until the summer.
Sure. Until summer 2K19.
2K19.
And I love that.
I'm also just interested in us creating a song. Maybe we'll come out with a song too.
We can.
2K19.
2K19. Okay, so the episode today is all about me.
It is. I was going to say that, but you just jumped to it, Greta, which is you. That's why it is all about you.
Yeah.
Greta Marie Teitelman.
Marie?
What's your middle name?
Why did you think it was Marie?
I don't know.
You're Italian. Marie?
No, it's not Marie.
What's your middle name?
Wow. Oh my God, Jilly, I'm feeling really disconnected from you right now.
Well, don't worry. I'm going to ask you about 40 questions. And well, then you'll feel connected.
my mom's name was Maria. Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why we thought that. What is your middle? Loth is with me. She thought it too.
You guys know my middle name.
I don't know. That just sounds...
Both. Greta Rose Teitelman.
Yes. Yeah, duh. Because your Instagram was that or your Twitter.
Duh. Sorry, Gertie.
It's okay.
Also, well, sorry for being 10 seconds late to this episode.
I could see you as a Marie one day.
I just want to let you guys know that as Lady Levin treasurer, I do write down your legal names constantly.
Yes, you do.
You are Lady Levin treasurer.
I am. And I won't say your legal name because apparently you don't want anyone to know.
She doesn't
want
it revealed.
Greta, this is the first question I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Wait, this is our last episode.
I know, but wait, this is a really important question.
What?
How has it felt to have been Lady Levin's treasure?
You know, I think I take the position really seriously.
You do.
You do.
I'm afraid of you.
You are very meticulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take the position very seriously.
You know how to work an Excel sheet.
Well, here's my thing. Finances... I am freaked out of getting audited. Like, I'll never be audited in my life because I am freaked out by this and like taxes and things like that. But I have a fear, like I have a deep, deep fear of going to jail for a stupid like financial thing.
I never knew this about you, that you had this deep, deep fear.
Wow, we're learning so much about you today.
I know.
Already.
So for me, that's why with our finances, I'm like, I'm just on it. I don't want anyone fucking around. No funny biz.
Well,
no.
It's true. I'm like, hey, Greta, like, how much did we get paid in August of 2016? And within 2 seconds, she'll be like, oh, here's how much. I'm like, okay.
Have it all down. I know.
How many $25 ads
did we
do? And
you know what's funny is like... This is the only aspect of my life that I'm good at finances in.
Really?
Like, my personal finances are a disaster.
Really?
Not a disaster.
I doubt that.
They're fine. I just like don't keep track of them like I should. Like one of my resolutions for the new year is really keeping track of my finances. Mm. And by that I mean like, you know, things that are going toward my business, which is...
Are you implementing a system to do that?
There are like some apps I'm researching.
Okay.
I know that there are some like things that can like help track your shit.
Okay, I love that.
You know.
Look at you. Resolutions already coming out.
What can I say?
Well, she's got a day.
I have a day.
She's got a day to write them all down.
This is my last day to be negligent with my personal finances.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Greta, let's do a history of you.
A history of me?
Yeah.
Let's see.
What happened?
What happened to me in the past 3.5 years?
I love how Greta's asking herself her own questions.
She just jumps right in.
Always. That's what I love about her.
I started the podcast hooking up with that guy that ended up having a pregnant girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was still hanging in the neighborhood.
I was.
She was hooking in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I was hooking in the neighborhood.
That's Greta's favorite thing to do.
I know. Hook up in the hood.
Yeah.
I know. And I had really decided... Wait, hold on. What did I was doing that.
And you were post-breakup.
Yes,
it was like
we had just broken up. He and I had just like kind of broken up.
Yeah, you're living.
Yeah,
and then you were like, I'm gonna rebound with.
Yes, yes.
You rebounded with a man in your neighborhood.
With a man in my neighborhood.
Yeah,
and then he really like fucked me up. He really fucked me up.
Remember when you saw him in Ojai at the grocery store?
Yes, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I grabbed my friend Hannah and I was like, became white as a ghost. And that was last year.
Yeah.
That was loco because it's like, how the fuck am I running into you here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So you start Lady Levin. You're fresh off a breakup and you're ready to jump into something good.
Yeah. Oh, and
that sounds like my new favorite movie.
Yeah.
And I was still filled with a lot of anger toward my dad when we started the show.
You've really overcome that.
Yeah. I really have. That we were talking last episode, in your episode, we were talking about like the anxieties of sharing mm-hmm. yourself. That is something that I get a lot of anxiety about, mm-hmm. is like the moments where I shared a lot about my personal family history. Mm-hmm. Those shares make me anxious.
Yeah, you really have done a tremendous job of being really open about, you know, yourself and your experiences with, you know, your parent relationships, your sister relationship. You know, I think that that's really commendable. A lot of people aren't willing to be so open in that way. And I think that so many of our listeners have really been able to connect with you on such a personal level because you are willing to have conversations like that. You know what I mean? And share that aspect of your life with people, because it's just not common. You know?
Yeah, a lot of people will share, like,
even your best friends in your life sometimes don't tell you stuff like that.
Yeah. A lot of people will share their dating lives or friendship drama, but not a lot of people share their family.
Yeah, it's hard. Thank you. It makes me feel good when I get notes from our listeners that are like, you know, I dealt with my parents having a bad divorce, or I dealt with my mom dying, or I dealt with my having a negative relationship with my dad, like, mm-hmm. you know, so that makes me feel good, because I think one of my purposes on earth is to like try and help people feel like less alone in my willingness to be open.
Yeah.
I feel that way about you tremendously, even thank in you. Our friendship.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I started with a lot of anger. I was very angry at that time in my life.
Mm-hmm. What color hair did you have?
Oh,
pink,
blonde.
Purple, or blonde, or blue?
I think it was, or like white. Icy blonde. I think it was blonde, and then, wait, it was blonde, nope, and then a year later at Lowe's 30th birthday. Wait, no, 2 years later. No, your 30th birthday was...
a couple of years ago now.
16?
Oh, wait, no, we... want to say that?
No, I just don't really remember.
No, yeah, your 30th birthday was in 2016.
Yeah, because we started this podcast. Yeah, because you were 28, 29, 30. Yeah. I had gray hair. I went to your birthday party with gray hair.
I vibed on your silvery locks.
Yeah, I loved that. Yeah, so I started the podcast like really angry in a lot of places of my life. And I was like, I had finally come to the realization of like really what I wanted to do with my career. And I felt very confused as to how I was going to get
there. Yeah, because you were working as a photo editor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were like full-time comedy and just worked your way up. And now look at you on an HBO show coming out when?
Like maybe in the summer or fall.
Amazing.
So cool. Undetermined.
TBD.
She going to be on the... big screen of your phone.
Of your house.
Or your TV.
Project me on your wall.
Yeah.
So I was like, when we started Lady Lovin', I was like really angry and like really confused. And really held on to Lady Lovin' as something that gave me a lot of hope for my future. And Lady Lovin' was a real pillar of stability in my life, because it was something that gave a helping hand into my career. And it was something that legitimized me in my career in many ways, because it started getting me an audience, which was cool. So, yeah, Lady Lovin', I think for me, more so than either of you, was like a really stabilizing pillar that I needed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think both of you guys were a bit more established in other things.
We're a bit older than you.
Right. And because you're a bit older than me. I'm so young.
You're so young and youthful.
But I think that for me, it was like really like a nice stabilizing thing. And then let's see. And then, yeah, I was like really angry. And then I started dating another guy. And I started dating him a few months into the podcast, actually.
Yeah.
And he was really great. And he and I had like, oh, you know, he was on our podcast. Will was on our podcast. And I talked openly about our relationship. And that was a nice relationship. And it ran its course. And I learned a lot from that relationship. You and I are like Ariana Grande.
I know.
The three of us are like Ariana Grande. One taught me love, one taught me patience.
I'm not as nice as she is about all this.
I mean, I'm like, one was a dick, one was another dick.
Yeah, one was a narcissistic like, asshole. Yeah, one losers. Gaslit me the entire time.
One didn't text me back.
Yeah. No, yeah, I was like in that, I was in a long-term relationship and it was like a good relationship, but then like that breakup was really hard and like really stressful because like so much, he and I like intertwined so much in like my world of comedy and in my personal life and all of this stuff. So that was like, you know, a real thing to deal with. Mm-hmm. But it was during, you know, during that time that I think I started focusing in more and more on stand-up and on my comedy career and like writing and all of these things. So yeah, that was like, that was a solid close to 2 years. And in that time, I really just like, that was when I decided, that's when I made the conscious decision to take myself really seriously and to like take my pursuit of this career like seriously as a real thing. Mm-hmm. And that really helped, like making that decision and just like, you know, finding the confidence to do it.
Yeah. I also think one thing that you had always said was you never wanted to get married.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now I've changed my tune.
You were like, I don't believe in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And
this again is like in my angry phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have seen me go through a lot of like different emotional phases. Too.
What do you feel like you had to do to release yourself from anger?
I think I needed to take a step back and calm down a little.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I also think you've always been very hard on yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm incredibly hard on myself.
Did that have to do with any of the
anger?
Yeah.
But I mean, like when you were angry, were you like conscious of your anger?
Yeah. You know, I think I've realized over time that anger takes up so much space in your life. And when you're filled with anger, you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
To me, anger isn't a helpful emotion to me. Anger doesn't make me productive. Anger doesn't motivate me. Anger doesn't make me funnier. So for those reasons, I was like, I don't want to be angry.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be an angry person. And I don't think being angry is cute. And like, I think that it fills your heart with a lot of shitty things.
Yeah.
I think when you're angry, you can't see the good things when they're in front of you. You can't seize opportunities when they're presented to you.
I also think you let a lot of people have the power instead of you when you're angry. Because you're usually forfeiting
yourself to somebody else. Yes,
you're usually angry about someone else or their actions or how that affected you instead of just choosing to only think about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just made me feel bad.
So how did you like rectify that in your life?
Yeah, I think I was just like,
give me the secret.
No, I think I literally was like,
not for you, but I mean, like, she's like, I want to know.
I think I truly
episode. I just want to know stuff.
I think I truly was like, I don't want to feel this way anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like craving feelings that I just didn't have. I was craving I used to say to my sister, like, all that I want is my life to be like calm and simple.
Yeah.
Like that was like all that I wanted was to have just like a fucking calm life.
Yep.
Where like I knew the people I could depend on. I knew the relationships I could depend on. I had a career that seemed to make sense. Like, where I just craved these things. Like, you know, my whole upbringing was so chaotic between my parents and me. And like, I'm a chaotic person as a person. I'm with myself internally. I am like very chaotic, you know?
Do you think you wanted stability?
Yes. Oh my God. That's all I ever wanted.
Yeah.
That's all anyone wants, I think. I think people want stability. I think that when you want to fall in love, that's seeking stability in a sense. When you want to have a great job, that's seeking stability in a sense. I think that I think happiness in life really depends on having a stable foundation.
It does, for sure.
And I think that if, you know, I'm fortunate because I got a lot of my stability, especially after my mom died, from my friends.
Yeah.
And from this and from my personal relationships.
I've always gotten a lot of stability from my friends. I have a, like, amazing relationship with my parents, but I've always gotten that mostly from my friends.
Right. But we're so lucky because then, you know, you listen to people that write us in that have incredibly bad friendships and people that treat them like shit. And like, it's crazy. So I think that for me, in terms of like coming over my anger and just like, I was just like, you know what? I can't change the past. Like, I can't change the past. I can't change people's actions or what they've said or what they've done. But like, I can change how I react toward them in the future, and I can change how I let them affect me.
Right.
And I think that like a lot of the way that I work with my brain, I need to make very pointed decisions. Like, I'm not like being like nebulous with my thoughts is good for me creatively, but like when it comes to me deciding to like move on from anger, I literally need to say to myself, you need to move on from this.
Yeah.
And I just like force myself to move on from it.
Yep. You make the decision and then you.
And then you just do it. Mm-hmm. And then like with my dad, you know, I love my dad.
Of course.
And I think that my love for my dad has always been so complicated. And I think that finally I was just able to say to myself, like, I love my dad and he is my dad. And as crazy as our relationship was, I love him so much. And I'm so happy he is alive and well and here. And like, you know, the relationship that I have with my dad now is like better than I could have ever asked for, because I have allowed myself to release myself of this anger and to release myself of, you know, the constant expectation of him disappointing me or the constant expectation of him being bad or this and that, or like, that I'd constantly be angry. Like, I used to literally pick up the phone and my dad would call me in fucking fury. And he could just be calling me to say hi. And I used to pick up the phone, like, ready to fucking go, you know?
And
like, truly. And like, that's not fair to him, you know? He's also trying to rebuild a relationship.
Yeah, do his best.
So now I think it's just like realizing, like, you know, life is really hard and you're only making it harder for yourself if you're filling your world with anger. So now, you know, I do a lot of conscious work.
Yeah.
To feel good.
I think it's just a testament to who you are as a person. You know what I mean?
I just like, life is so short and we literally all die. And it's like,
right.
I don't want to spend my time being angry and mad. And I don't, and it like gives me bad skin and it makes me fat.
Yeah, I think like people really lose sight of the fact that like we're all gonna fucking croak, and like, how did you spend your time on this earth? Were you miserable and was it self-imposed misery? Or were you like, you know what? I'm going to like make an effort, but really like not stress out that so much over this stuff, because really at the end of the day, we're gonna fucking die.
Yeah, and like, look,
sorry
like,
to be morbid, but like,
people keep telling that to me. Every
try to just like enjoy yourself a little bit.
People keep saying, no, we're not on here for that long.
I mean, we're not, and it's like, You know, we get a lot of emails about, you know, minutia in people's lives that drives them crazy, which is a normal part of life. Yeah. Minutia drives me crazy. Like,
those emails drive me crazy.
You know, just like little things are just like annoy all of us. Like,
totally.
Yeah. When like someone like steals my fucking parking spot and then like flicks me off, my fucking really pissed off. Yeah. But like, I need to get over it.
Well, it's hard, I think, for a lot of people to bring themselves out of the moment. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for a lot of people, I think, to like pull themselves out of that situation and think of it like larger. Like, even like when you're dating someone and something shitty happens and you're like, okay, well, I really loved this person and I wanted to marry them, and like, now I have to like start all over. Like, what does that look like? You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like a lot of stuff that happens, especially in your 20s, is really... you know, it has a huge impact on your life and how you move forward.
I feel like when you are just out of college, your life is similar to like a packet of Crystal Light. Like, you are a packet of, like, you're a packet of Crystal Light when you get into the world. You are concentrated, you are all there, and you think that everything that happens in your world is like so fucking extreme. You know what I mean? Like, a friend, losing a friend is like, by losing a friend, I don't mean like literally. I mean like by growing apart from a friend.
Yeah.
It's like the worst thing in the world that could happen. Or by getting ghosted on a guy. So everything is so fucking like the worst thing, the worst thing, the worst thing. Or like, you can't believe it. And then slowly, you know, let's use water as time. You add a little bit of water to the Crystal Light and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and a little more diluted. till finally you're just a very delicious, pleasurable beverage.
And then there's nothing left.
And then you just sit out long enough and evaporate, essentially.
I guess. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like everything seems, I guess, yeah, when we started this podcast, I was 25.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, everything seems intensity.
And, you know, 4 years later, things definitely feel a lot less intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel a lot less alone, a lot less angry, and a lot less confused. And that's why I can't wait to continue getting older age-wise with my brain. Like, do I physically want to age? No, that's one of my biggest fears in life is physically aging. Like, do I want my vag to, like, be saggy and my tits to be down to my knees and my face to be down to my shoulders? Like, not really, but luckily there are doctors that fix that.
Yes, there are.
What? Such a wise woman over here.
You know? I don't know. I will say physically aging oh, yeah, and getting arrested by the IRS
are my two big fears
in life. You know? I just want to be like fucking fresh and hot forever.
What are you most looking forward to in the future?
Continuing to become like a happier, more evolved person.
Mm.
Like, shit is hard.
Yeah.
And I just want to continue to become a better person. Like, I want to continue to be a better friend, be a better person, and be the best person I can be to myself. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
It is.
And talking about what you were saying last episode about the authenticity of your voice of and you. All of that, that's the constant pursuit.
Yeah.
It's the pursuit of living my life most authentically to me in all aspects of my life.
Definitely. It's not even like, oh, how do I project that in my career? Or just how do you be the best version of yourself at all times?
And I don't think you can be. I don't think you can be the best version of yourself at all times.
Right.
Like, how do you just, I guess, put yourself first too?
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating when you see certain people that are just like, that feels like they're just like born cool. Or born with it together.
Or born with the ability to not be affected by anyone else around them.
Yeah, but I just want everyone to know that that's life? Bullshit.
Do you think? I think there's some people that walk through life like that. What about like Jerry Seinfeld?
No, you don't think he does? No. First of all, to be like an observant, very successful comedian, you need to be an incredibly critical person. Like Jerry Seinfeld did not walk through life being like, la, 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 everything's perfect.
No,
you know?
But not everything is perfect. I just mean, I feel like from what I've read and watched, not that I know him personally, he definitely like walked through life just only think, like, I guess not only think about himself, but, you know, in his own like, his own lane. World. You know what I mean?
You know, but this is
like,
but
not
this
thinking
is all
about
the,
like how
sure,
to
but
other
this is
people
all
around
further
him.
You're
conversation.
Also making a generalization though, based on your experience as a consumer of his comedy.
Well, also
you have
books
no
I've
idea.
Read.
You have yeah, but
interviews
you have no
I've
idea who. There's no human on this earth that's not affected by like other
True.
People or
I,
stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Also,
that was more of a general, like maybe only Jerry Seinfeld.
Also, I would just like to say, and this is something when I think about, you know, other comedians that I look up to and people that have like inspired me, they were also comedians before the fucking internet.
Yeah.
So like, guess who wasn't burdened by looking at everyone's material constantly online in a stream every fucking day? Was Jerry Seinfeld. Guess who probably was able to like find their voice a little bit easier because they didn't have like 900 other voices fucking jizzing on their face every day? Like, I think it's this what we were saying. It clouds you because like you have 3,000. You can go online and just read millions of other people's thoughts. Mm-hmm. That consumes so many of your thoughts, you know? And then you have a thought and you're like, oh my God, I have this thought. But wait, didn't this other person have this thought? So how can I have this thought? And you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's interesting because if you think of a joke or something and you could Google it, those words, and see if someone else has said it.
Sure. But like Jerry Seinfeld never had to deal with
that. I know. I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. He couldn't do that. The internet. There's going to be a huge movement into healthy technology.
Yeah, I mean,
and how to handle
consume
it
and how to handle it. Yeah,
especially for our kids. All right, let's take a quick break.
Mm-hmm. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Storyworth. For those of you guys that don't know what Storyworth is, it is the most amazing way to create a generational keepsake of stories for your family. It's truly amazing. So here's basically how it works. Storyworth makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their stories with weekly emailed story prompts and questions you never thought to ask. At the end of the year, they'll get their stories bound in a beautiful hardcover book, strengthen your family bonds, and get to know your loved one in a whole new way. Here's how it works. You purchase a subscription for someone you love, and each week, Storyworth sends them an email with questions about their life. They simply reply to this email with their story or can record it over the phone by calling the Storyworth number. All stories are private and only shared with the family that you choose. Then, after a year, their stories will be bound into a beautiful keepsake book. Isn't that amazing? I've decided that this year I want to do it with my sister because my sister and I talk constantly and we share stories constantly, but I forget them all the time. And I get so frustrated when I can't remember something amazing she told me or really funny that she told me. So I'm really excited to do it with her this year and see what we get after a year of back and forth. And I just think it's a great way to keep something that you can then share with your kids and your grandchildren. And it's just an amazing way to stay in touch. And I just think it's such an incredibly touching gift. And it's a gift that you also get to be a part of, which is really cool. It's basically like a back and forth recorded story conversation. And you get to learn about your relatives and, you know, ask them questions that you never thought to ask them before and preserve your memories. So it's amazing. And all of you guys should try it because I think you'll love it. Think about someone in your family that's you want to give a Storyworth gift to. So for $20 off, visit storyworth.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, when you subscribe. That is $20 off by visiting storyworth.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, when you subscribe. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Squarespace. You guys know we love Squarespace because it's really the best place to build your own website because it's so easy and so beautiful and amazing. If you guys don't know what's up with Squarespace, basically it's the place where you can turn your cool idea into a brand new website. You can showcase your work, you can blog or publish content, you can sell products and services of all kinds. It's really amazing. If you have a business that you want to promote, it's there for you. If you have an event that you want to promote, it's there for you. You can truly do everything on Squarespace. They offer beautiful templates created by world-class designers. They have everything optimized for mobile right out of the box, so you don't need to worry about whether or not your website will be beautiful on a phone or an iPad, because guess what? It will be. Also, our favorite thing is the 24/7 award-winning customer support. So if you are on the website and you're trying to build your website and you don't know what to do and you're getting confused and it's at 4 a.m. and you want it to be done in the morning, guess what? Someone is there to help you. You can make it yourself. I say this all the time, but I am completely technologically inept and I can make a website on Squarespace. So that means you can make a website on Squarespace. So go to squarespace.com/lovin for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code LOVIN to save 10% off of your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/lovin for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code LOVIN to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
And we're back.
We are back. Was that our last commercial break?
That was our last commercial break. Until the hiatus.
Yeah.
It is over.
Until the hiatus is over.
And now let's get into the fun questions.
Was that all? Those are all the emotional questions you had for me?
No, I feel like we still have more emotional
questions. I didn't even get to go on to the ending of Lady Lovin' and about the fact that I'm down to get married now.
Let's do it.
Okay, should we?
No, it's fine.
Let's do it, Greg. Let's jump in.
All right. Well, now I'm here and now I'm dating this person that's like love of my life.
Yeah.
And I love him so much and I would like to marry him. So I changed my tune.
You did.
What is it about this relationship that makes you feel so different about like your outlook on everything?
Going back to kind of like my thesis of, I guess, my goal to existence, like he just like makes me feel like he gives me so much stability and all these ways that I've never felt before.
Yeah.
Just like his love for me. And he really deeply just loves me. Fully me.
Yeah.
I have never felt that he has ever wanted me to change in any way. And if he has wanted me to change, it's only for my benefit.
Right.
You know? Things like being more present.
things like not worrying about all of the bullshit that I worry about constantly.
So he makes you want to be a better person.
Totally. And he inspires me. I think it's really important to be with someone that inspires you.
Definitely.
Like,
but why do you think I go after all the men that I go after?
He inspires me to be a happier person, mm-hmm. and to pursue life from a point of happiness and to pursue things from a point of them being good. I think I had the habit of, for myself, never for other people, but for myself, always going into things from a place of them being bad. Mm-hmm. You know? So like always expecting a bad result, always expecting a negative feedback, negative answers, no's. Mm-hmm. So he's really like helped me kind of shift that part of my brain, which I actually think has helped me be more successful in my career and with myself.
Yeah, well, definitely. If you're always willing that something, you're not going to get the right answer or it's negative.
It's a lot of brain work.
Yeah.
And a lot of visualization.
Definitely.
And like, I think he's really helped me do that. And like, he likes that I'm crazy. And he likes that I am just like a nut. And I love that. And I love, and I would marry him because I value our life together in a way that like, I never felt like I was really sharing a life with someone before. I always felt like I was living in the
two
same, like our worlds were kind of these two balls living in the same bubble, and they would like sometimes bump into each other and sometimes not.
Yeah.
And like now I just am like, oh, I want our world to be one ball. And it's the first time that I like really want to like put in the actual work of making the relationship work. Because I know our relationship will get very hard at during some points. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he's the kind of person that like I feel that he would want to make it work. So then like I would want to make it work. You know what I mean?
You just love him.
I love him.
Oh, I love that.
Well, a lot of people get engaged on New Year's Eve.
Oh, shut up, Chili.
So everyone, yeah, make sure to follow Greta's Instagram account on January 1st.
You know my crazy ass sent him like a $200,000 like vintage Bulgari 5-carat ring the other day. I was like, LOL, but holler at your girl. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want.
That's true. That's a great lesson.
You know, a lot of people get like engagement rings that they're not happy with. Like, guide.
You know, I've been thinking about engagement rings lately, and like, I don't know if
I... Do you want one? Do you want to wear one?
I want to wear something, but I don't know if I want like a diamond thing.
Do you
anymore.
Want a stone, or do you want like a band? Do you want to be like very French and wear just a band?
I think I like just like a band would be fine.
Like a
with
nice
me.
Gold
That's
band.
That's what Kim wears now.
Yeah, I mean, after she got robbed,
she wears a gold band.
Yeah, like I think like
chic.
If a boy wants to marry me, he can just like give me a band as a token of love, and that would be fine.
I love that. I've realized that I'm just like, I just like love jewels.
I love jewels, but I already wear a lot of like nice jewels. And so I kind of think that like throwing a big ass diamond into the mix also is just like a little too intense for me at this point.
You're like Samantha Jones.
I do think she just wants to buy her own butterfly ring.
She could buy it herself.
Or flower ring, not butterfly. It was flowers.
It was flower.
I do think that like really young people, and I am considering us collectively being very young. Yeah. I do think there is something really ridiculous looking about young girls wearing like huge diamonds.
Yeah. I mean like,
I mean, more power to you. Yeah, like,
I love a bauble, but I don't know. I've become just more disenfranchised by all of the wedding stuff over the past couple years.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I just don't care as much. And so I'm just trying to have just a more like low-key approach, or not low-key approach, but just approach that like makes me feel good about it. Sorry, this is Greta's episode.
No, I don't care. No, I agree.
I also think, want your thoughts on weddings.
I think that we all feel like I don't know why I love big stones. Like, and the thing is, I think sometimes like I look at people wearing huge diamonds and I'm like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. But then I'm also like, oh my God, I want that. you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, diamonds are cool.
I love diamonds and I love jewelry, and like, I would love a huge diamond. And I don't feel shame in saying that.
No.
Well, she doesn't, but because she sent it to
AIM.
She does not feel shame.
I have wanted a huge diamond.
I'll show you this diamond. Do you guys want to see this diamond?
Greta, if you could have any hair color, what would it be?
I feel like I've done all my hair colors, you know, on this podcast. Purple, pink, gray, darker blonde, platinum blonde. Like
always
I was,
in
like,
the bright
brown.
Category. Always in the bright category.
I think that if I could like dye my hair a really outrageous color and like have it be just on my head for a little, it would either be like orange, like Mila Jojovic, in cool. Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Like really orange. Or I would like to dye my hair blue, but I've dyed my hair in the blue family a lot, like grays and cool tones. I don't know. I would say probably like traffic cone orange. I would like.
Whoa. Love that. I think you could actually pull that off too.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun to have for a little bit.
Yeah.
Or
traffic cone orange. That is one color I would never dye my hair, which is why I love you.
You know, I mean, I think it'd be
you'd
fun.
Really stand
See, here's
out.
My plan. Like when I get old, when I'm like 80 plus, 70 plus, maybe I'm just going to dye my hair crazy colors yeah. and just wear so much jewelry.
I can see that. And maybe you know? Like faux colored fur coats.
Yeah.
And like a lot of florals.
Yes.
And then matching pants and top.
Yes.
Like sets.
Yes.
A lot of sets.
A lot of sets. A lot of sets.
She's going to be living in sets.
I just want to live a big, fucking bright, colorful, fun life. That's really what I want to do.
Well, you're off to a great start.
But it's hard because I get in my way a lot. You know what I'm saying? My depression, my anxiety, my own bullshit. But my ultimate goal for my future is to just live this like really fantastic life, which I think all of us want for our future. But yeah, I think it's about, you know, realizing that you deserve it and realizing that no matter where you are, no matter how much money you make, no matter what your situation is, we can all like achieve that to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
You sound very wise.
Yeah, I feel like
calm
and
right
worldly.
Yeah, you feel really calm yeah. is like a very good descriptor, I think. And I think,
oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I think that you've made really big changes in your life in the past year and it's working for you.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and moving that to LA quite, was like a crazy
yeah,
change.
Yeah. It's quite evident.
Thank
you know
you.
What I mean? Like, I still wish you lived here, but I know that you're like, you're doing great.
You know, LA has kind of given me a perspective that I didn't know that I needed. And I did. I needed to like take a step back and like actually like LA, if anything, has just like given me time to like figure out myself. Because mm-hmm. you have space to figure yourself out there in a way.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. New York is my fucking lifeblood. I love it here. This is the best city in the world.
Yeah.
I live here spiritually and like this is the greatest city ever. I want to live here. But like right now, I just like needed the space to just like really get my shit together.
Yeah.
Because I'm so easy at being like a social bouncy person here. You know, like walk out the door. And I, like in New York, I can leave my place to go run an errand and not come back home till like 2 a.m.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would just
so
do that.
True.
I would just do that constantly.
Yeah.
And for me, like I've just had so many issues that I just like needed to deal with head on that like living in New York was very easy for me to just like never deal with them.
Yeah. Distracted from that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
To just like sweep them under the rug.
It's interesting that you say that because we also have a lot of listeners that write us in that say, I'm going through all of this and I'm dating someone. How do I explain that to my partner? How do I get through this while I'm dating someone when it's like a lot of stuff that I want to work on for myself? And you've actually done that while being with someone.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also about like finding someone that also wants you to do that.
Yeah, totally.
Like you can't be with someone that isn't supportive of you figuring your shit out. And, you know, if you are with someone that isn't supportive of that, then like fuck them and dump them. More people need to be dumping.
By the way, Greta, you've
dump
also coined.
Ass.
Coined the term dump his ass.
Yeah.
I have a catchphrase.
You do have a catchphrase.
Yeah, but like just. So many people are just in these like fucking relationships that are just shitty and they should be out of them. Obviously, relationships take work and relationships are allowed to be shitty from time to time. But like if you find yourself with someone that you just feel is unsupportive, doesn't like your dreams, doesn't vibe with like your friends or what you or your interests are. Like, don't be with someone just because you think that you should be or you're scared of being alone. Like, being there's so much power comes from being alone, which I think the three of us can all attest to.
How have your friendships changed?
I think I've really honed in on a friend group. I think that in my early 20s, I was hanging out with so many people all the time, especially going to college in New York. You know, I have so many friends, and I've always been the kind of person to have a lot of friends. So I think I've just, like, you know, I've really taken a step back and considered friends that matter a lot to me, you know, friends that mean a lot to me, and that those relationships are the friendships that I'm interested in pursuing, you know? I don't need a lot of, like, I don't need, like, party friends, you know what I mean? Like, I can party with my real friends, you know? But I think that...
Party friends. I haven't heard that word in a while.
Man, I had like 90,000 party friends. And it's not because I don't love all my party friends. I still love my party friends when I see my party friends. But I don't feel the same pressure, I think, that I felt when I was younger of like keeping up with everyone constantly. Yeah. Like I love seeing people that I, you know, I love running into people. I love seeing people out. But I don't feel the constant pressure of being like, oh my God, but if I don't text like... so-and-so, then they're going to hate me, or like, they're not going to be my friend. And it's like, no, like, they'll be your friend. You don't need to be in touch with everyone. I think that, like, that's what I've realized in my friendships. I can just, like, there are people like you guys. You guys know everything about my life, and I feel so comfortable, and I love being with you guys, you know? And I also feel in my friendships that are most important to me, like, I never feel pressure from them. I don't feel judged by those friends, and also I don't feel like I need to talk to them every fucking second of every day. I think that, like, I have tried to grow out of a lot of, like, codependency in relationships and realize, like, oh, if I don't talk to Lo for 2 weeks, it's fine. If I don't talk to Jilly for 2 weeks, it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
Well, everyone's so busy that it's, like, it is hard to...
Yeah, but I think when you're younger, you look so much into, like,
time. You read it differently.
Yeah.
You know, like... You interpret it.
And time means everything. It's like, oh my God, we haven't spoken in 2 days. It's like,
okay. Yeah.
It's fine.
Totally. Well, it's the people that you can talk to every couple of weeks and like you see all the time and nothing's changed. It's like, those are the people that are really there for you. I know, you know, everybody has people that they are with more frequently or whatever, but I just mean like, I know what you mean in terms of like being less concerned with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
And just like,
it just doesn't feel as intense.
Yeah. And also just like, be around people that make you feel good. Like, that's my whole situation now. I just want to be around my friends that make me feel good, that make me feel like myself.
Yeah.
And if you make me feel shitty and bad, I'm not going to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of that simple.
Yeah.
And that...
You got the power. Just like...
I got the power.
Who sang that song?
I don't know. I forget.
I don't know.
Okay, Greta, juicy question time.
What?
Who is your, like, celeb hunk that would get you pregnant? What's the question?
Who's our celeb crush?
Oh, yeah. Who's my celeb crush that I would love to get me pregnant? Like the one that I asked you? Mm-hmm. Wow, I have like so many. Okay, Rihanna, number one.
Cool.
If Rihanna could impregnate me, I would...
Let her.
Okay.
Anytime. Rihanna probably ties with... God, this is hard for me.
It's a tough one.
Can I name like three guys?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, you know who I think is really hot? And I'm just going to admit this right now that I think he's really hot. Liam Hemsworth.
That's not like something you have to admit.
That's not like something people don't know.
And I think his relationship with Miley Cyrus makes him hotter to me. And I love Miley Cyrus.
Same.
So I love Liam Hemsworth, so hot. Okay, I've always wanted to fuck Shia LaBeouf. I know I get shit for it all the time, but
I'm with you on all your choices.
Like, I would really want to have sex with Shia LaBeouf.
You just have to like also take off those sweatpants and boots and tucked in t-shirt.
Like, get me pregnant. I don't know. Of course Ryan Gosling and Jake Gyllenhaal can get me pregnant. Of course Idris Elba can get me pregnant. Of course Michael B. Jordan can get me pregnant.
Love Michael B. Jordan.
By the way,
of course,
I have the biggest crush on Michael B. Jordan, and someone was like, you should slide in his DMs because they sent me the Ellen clip where he said that he responded to girls that slide in his DMs.
DM him.
I'm not. That's the only person I don't slide into their DMs.
Who else? Oh, Pharrell. Ooh. Yeah. Now I'm just like,
so you've
thinking,
just got like a whole football team.
I have a whole team of dudes that can really do it of, for me.
And women.
Oh, also, Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, yeah.
He's and Armie Hammer.
Just keep going, girl.
He's and, almost filled up the team.
Oh, your Michael starting Sarah, lineup. Michael Sarah, duh.
Your starting lineup.
Who else? Ooh, Mark Ruffalo. How do we feel?
Are you just listing everyone in the People's Sexiest Men Alive?
Kind of.
magazine?
Oh, you know, it's a new one for me, but he can get it. Trevor Noah.
Oh, he's cute.
Yeah.
He's on my dating
he's
app.
He's on the list for sure.
Yeah, Trevor Noah.
He pops up on my dating app.
Say what's up.
I do, but we don't match. He doesn't match with me.
Trevor Noah is up there.
He pops up on my dating app.
And I think he has a girlfriend though. I have a question. We need to move on.
Because I could just keep listening. Yeah,
she could keep going. Yes. She could actually fill a 747.
If you were a man, what kind of man would you be?
I think if I were a man, okay, first of all, I've already
talked
about this. What do you
mean? Intellectually, physically, emotionally?
Just whatever way she wants to answer.
Okay, I think if I were a man, I think, oh, God. I think if I were a man, I would be like crazy confident.
Yeah,
I think I'd
be.
Have a lot of confidence as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like I could be veering on edge of being like a dick.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, I like really think I could be.
Do you think you would ghost women?
I think I definitely went through a phase. I think I definitely went through a ghosting phase. I definitely went through a phase of like treating women like shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you've come out a really nice guy because you have a good heart.
Do you have a job?
What's
your
job? My mom.
What's your job?
Like, I think I'm still
a comedian?
No. I think I'm still working in entertainment, and I think I'm an agent.
Or a producer.
Mm. I think I'm more like an agent.
Okay.
I think I'm like on the phone fucking yelling at people about like nonsense.
If you're what would
your or no, I think I am. Or I could be like hot and working in politics, but I think I think I'm like narcissistic enough as a man to want to work in entertainment.
But what would your shoes be if you were a man?
Yeah, good
question.
That's
really a telling thing about men.
I would wear one of three shoes if I were a man. I'd wear a Chelsea boot probably. I think I'd be a Chelsea boot wearer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chic shoe. It's kind of an all-terrain shoe.
All-terrain.
It's like you can slip it on, slip it off.
You're not going hiking in those. But okay,
you know me, you could if you wanted to.
All right,
I think I'd definitely fuck with a sneaker. Like I'd definitely wear an Air Max, you know, or I'd wear
no, you wouldn't wear a Christian Louboutin sneaker.
Fuck no.
Maybe
not. Like I wouldn't wear like a Golden
considering
Goose
the personality
sneaker.
She's describing.
No, I'm not like an annoying guy that would own an apartment in like Midtown, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. You're, that's kind of the vibe I was catching from you.
I'm like
thinking she's some guy that moved to the Lower East Side because like people told her that was cool.
I'm thinking I'm kind of like an like how Nick Jamay, since he's the only guy that we openly talk about,
we love
that
Nick
no
Jamay.
One is fucking on this podcast.
Love
he's
Nick
like
Jamay.
How Nick Jamay,
guy friend.
But like how Nick Jamay is like, okay, there are two sides of me. Because then there's this other side where
Nick
I'd want to be like
a
really cool artist
like
guy.
Like a cool guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Nick Jamay?
Yeah.
Even though like, he's a business owner?
Yeah, but like I'd want to be like a really cool guy. There's another part of me where I'd be like some like fucking like streetwear designer or something like that.
I think
know?
I would be like a motorcycle riding, beer having.
I think you would
like,
be like.
Tattooed. Like, dude.
I think you'd also wear hats if you were a guy.
What
yeah,
kind of
fedoras.
Hats?
Like, I think you'd be like a Nick Fouquet.
Oh, like a Nick Fouquet
like
kind of moment. Yeah.
Do we only mention men's names
or
who start with Nick?
Exactly.
We mention their last names.
Or you like you're giving me that kind of like Malibu boy vibe mixed with the hot guys that are on like The Walking Dead.
Yes.
What about me?
Mm-hmm, thanks.
Wow, Jilly. Okay.
Do you think
you would actually just be Nick Jamay?
Do you think I would be James Corden?
No, because no offense, I don't imagine you on Broadway.
Oh yeah, he was on Broadway. No, I'm not. No offense.
He won a Tony.
I forgot about that.
But like, I could envision you in like the late night kind of like goofy man space.
Andy Samberg.
No,
am I just talking about my
favorite male
comedians?
Yeah, like why do you have to be a comedian?
Because I feel like if I was a man, I would be funny.
Yeah, but like
I'm funny now, but I mean like I feel like I'd be,
I think I'd be funny too. But you guys, I don't want you guys to think that I'm like a cheese dick guy. Oh my god.
You kind of am. But you also described Lo as a little bit of that too with
like,
the hat.
No, but Lo is like Lo's like, I just want to ride out, like come with me or not. Like Lo is like a lone wolf hot
Lo
guy.
Lo would definitely be like, come with me or not. You know, like your
Lo,
choice.
Lo is like
she would definitely say that.
Like I definitely don't have mommy issues as a guy, and like, and you know what? I'm a charismatic man.
Okay.
You know who I would be if I were a guy? Yeah. John Hamm.
Okay.
Like well dressed. However, my dick would probably not be as big as his.
Huge.
His dick is huge. Apparently.
Do you like how we're talking about dudes on the last episode of Lady Love?
I know.
If we were guys, who would we be?
But ultimately, if I were a guy,
oh, maybe I would be Obama.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Okay.
You guys, I still have no idea who I would be as a male, but
no, I would maybe ultimately I'll figure it out. I would ultimately be like John Hamm.
Okay.
Like, that's cool.
I love that. Gertie, what's your favorite food?
Ooh, I'd have to say French fries.
Jill's too.
Love them.
French fries, cheeseburgers, even though I can't eat cheese, and pasta and tacos. I'm just like a 4-year-old.
All that food is delicious.
Oh, and like a really delicious cinnamon bun.
What is the one skincare thing you couldn't live without?
Sunscreen.
What about like treatment?
That's a tie between getting like Clear and Brilliant done and Botox.
The tox.
I'm not going to lie.
Curdy called her dermatologist for a tox appointment. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to call my dermatologist for a tox appointment before you got here, Jill. We're both going tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got to go next week. No, I got to go next week.
Like, could I live without Botox? Like, absolutely.
But like the one thing you wouldn't give up. If you could only do one thing to your face, what would you do? Or to your skin?
No, that's hard because my skin, I also have like rosacea, so like I get EPL, like I get a laser done to my rosacea that really helps me, and I actually don't think I could live without that more than Botox, because like I could get wrinkly, but I really don't like having,
you can't get red,
the red splotches, for all my rosacea people out there, you know, the blood vessels that break, it's like a whole thing.
Yeah I love.
What else? Is that it? Nothing else for me?
I have more questions. I'm just trying to figure out which one I want to pick next. Lo, do you want to go with yours?
If I were a line of shoes, I would be Manolo Blahniks.
Oh.
I were.
If there was, if you couldn't be a comedian actress,
what would I be?
Yeah.
I'd either run like a fabulous bakery and like, this is my fantasy.
What would you call it?
Probably, like, I think I'd call it Rosie's or something.
Or Greta Rose.
Or Cuckoo Nushu, whatever Lo said.
What about Greta Rose?
Greta Rose.
Greta Rose.
Or I'd own like an incredible resort and like an amazing island.
I could see you being the like resort.
Like, yes, like the lady, lady. Of the, like the lady of the house.
For sure you could see you doing that.
I think I will end up being a sea witch.
No, not a sea witch, the lady of the house.
Yeah, I would like to be a lady of the house.
In Morocco. And you'd be the one like Greece, doing the rub shots you're, like, with everyone. Like fabulous 6-star hotel is.
Exactly.
Like, you're just the lady of the house.
Very tan, wearing like a bunch of bangles and caftans and like.
Yeah, or like just like a really chic pantsuit kind of a thing.
I love that.
You know, I could see that for you.
Thank you.
With like a sandal.
Thank you.
Well, Greta, what has Lady Lovin' brought you?
Stability and certainty in times where I've been uncertain. And that's actually a lot. And it's brought me an amazing community of women, all of our listeners. It's brought me fans, which, you know, you guys had fans before this podcast. And I didn't really. So it's brought me a whole...
You've always had fans.
A whole community of fans, which has been really nice. And, you know, if you guys are still my fans... Oh, I forgot to mention this at the top of the episode. I'm starting my own podcast.
Sexy.
What's it called?
It's called The Worst.
I think you should call it Sexy, Cool, Crazy.
Sexy, like.
I'm just giving you like fire
crazy,
names.
Like,
today.
Crazy, sexy, cool, is like the TLC, TLC album.
Yeah. It might be. I don't think she can do that.
I don't think I can do that. But I am starting.
Same concept.
I am starting I guess if you're listening to this podcast this week, my new podcast will be premiering next week.
Amazing.
The Worst is called?
The Worst. Intimate Conversations with Greta Titelman. It's a storytelling podcast.
Oh, I love that.
So we'll be talking about the worst stories of my guests, me and my guests' lives. And there'll also be an advice portion of the podcast about, like, you know, on Lady Lovin', we answer a lot of questions. Like lifestyle questions and like
relationship.
Yeah. Like the questions, which, by the way, feel free to write into my podcast any questions, but questions really about dealing with shitty situations.
Mm-hmm.
The worst.
The worst.
All right. When I have a shitty situation, I'm going to write to you.
What day of the week is that coming out?
That is currently
a TBD.
A TBD. It could possibly be coming out on Mondays.
Okay.
It could possibly be coming out on Thursdays.
Okay.
And but you guys will, I will be posting about it on my Instagram this week, I guess.
And you'll be posting all your shows so everyone can come see you live.
Oh, yeah. And then if you're in LA and you want to come see me live, I will be doing my worst storytelling show at the Virgil on January 26th, which is a Saturday. It'll be really fun. If you guys came last time, I'm telling different stories this time. It's an hour of storytelling. I'm accompanied by Henry Kaparski, the best pianist on the planet, and it's a really fun show. Jilly's seen the show.
It's amazing.
And it's a really fun show. So you guys should come.
I have more questions.
What?
You can also see her on the screen. This summer?
Yes, you can also see me. I will be on an HBO show this summer.
Okay. And?
Or this fall.
Who's your lady loving?
You guys and all of you guys that listen. Yeah. But, you know, we want all of our lady lovers to know we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is fitting that, well, Greta can pick us for this episode, but like, all of our lady loves for this episode is really all the listeners.
Yeah.
You know, and all the people who have given us much as much time as we've given them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really is a two-way street.
They've given us more time.
You guys,
they've
written us emails.
I know.
Don't cry, Gertie. It's not the end. It's only the beginning.
This is like graduation.
I know, but it's nice. Like, this is such an accomplishment that we've been able to do this for more than 3 years. Pretty much every Monday drop an episode. Like, it's hundreds of episodes at this point. And, like, it has been a labor of love for us. And we have learned a lot about ourselves and about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, a bond that, to me, is, like, really unbreakable. And like, I'm just so thrilled to have had this experience with you guys and to, like, learn about this stuff.
I know.
And to be able to support a community of women in, like, such a meaningful way every week.
Yeah.
It's been really great. And I think, like, just like with Jilly, who's, like, putting all of this stuff into her business, you know what I mean? It's, like, this is something that, like, has shaped who we are.
Yes.
And we'll continue to put this experience forth in our lives together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In different ways.
Yeah.
So just think about it like that.
I know. And I just want to, I really want to, all of us want to thank from the bottom of our hearts, all of you guys that have consistently listened to us.
Yeah.
For 3+ years.
Yes.
And that have recommended your friends, that have liked us on iTunes.
That have sent us emails and DMs.
Yes. And thank you.
We wrote a nice comment.
Yeah, seriously.
Subscribed.
And thank you for
gave us 5 stars, no.
And thank you for, seriously, every single person that has written us an email. I know we have not even been able to scratch the surface with how many emails we've received. Mm-hmm. But just, like, thank you for opening yourself up to us, because that is really why we started this podcast.
And I hope that with that email that it's opened up to us, that you've been able to open up to other people your life.
Yes.
And by,
totally. Sending that first email to us is like a really great gateway drug for like learning how to talk to all the people in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
And also like remember, like, women are very powerful. We are the most powerful.
Yeah.
Anyone that comes close to your vagina should be lucky.
Yeah.
Dump his ass if he doesn't treat you right.
And just, like, you know, own your shit. Be confident.
Be strong.
Yeah. The moment is now, you guys.
And like, I don't know. I'm trying, there's so many things, but
there are so many things.
You know, a girl wrote into us being like, how am I going to find but more like inspirational, empowering things for women, like podcasts and things, like what is going to be out there? And I'm like, you're out there.
Yeah, 100%. It's like,
you know,
mm-hmm. we're like empowered women empower women, you guys. Yeah. So just like go out and live your life in the way that you want to do it. And you can always just start over again from episode one.
And you can always stay connected with us by following us online, because that's a cool thing about online. And you get to listen to Jilly online. You get to listen to me online. And Lo, yeah. actually, you get to listen to online because Lo, you are on Lowdown. I feel yeah. like, aren't you posting?
I have the Lowdown. I post. We'll be doing a love wellness podcast type of show next year.
Oh, great.
I don't have all the details yet, but.
See, we'll all be potting. Yeah.
We'll be potting.
You've been posting like recipes and things like that. Things yeah. that like come up in your life.
Yeah, for sure. We've definitely been posting a little bit more. One of my focuses for next year is like, I've been so deep in love wellness that like I have to, I'm continuing to do that. But like, I think it's important to explore these like other avenues, you know, at the same time. So I'm reachable for sure.
We're all reachable,
you guys.
Or just also a lot of people, if you see us on the street, just say hey.
Say hi.
Totally.
All right. We love you.
We hope you have a great new year.
Yes.
And we'll see you. You'll hear from us in 2019.
You will.
Yes. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.